That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
The best of 2024.
On FUBAR Radio.
I am now joined in the studio by the incredible Tim Poole. Earlier I introduced you as finance expert, content creator, and maybe chartered accountant. Found out very much so that he's on his way there, but he ain't chartered just yet. But anyway, Tim, welcome to the studio. How you doing?
Thank you. I'm very good, Gabriel. It's lovely to be here.
Yeah, it's lovely to have you here. For those of you that don't know Tim, or don't recognize his voice, you probably haven't been on social media in the past 3 years now. He's one of the best finance creators in the game. He's gone viral probably more times than, you know, I can count on one hand. Well, that's only five, so I'm assuming more than five times. And he's constantly giving absolute gems in the personal finance world. And I don't think I've ever asked you this question, which is, why did you start putting out money content on the internet in the first place? Because, like, to be clear, and I do this as well, it's not normal. Like, it is weird to do that.
You're not alone. It is weird to do that.
Yeah.
It was, and just, the way I know that it's weird is when I told my, like, family and I told my girlfriend, like, I'm thinking about, and this was, like, lockdown 2020, so, like, TikTok was really early. It was all the memes and the dancing videos back in that day. Like, I told them all, like, I'm thinking about posting some finance videos on TikTok, and they were like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Next day, I post a video about lifetime ISAs, as you were just talking about, and within a day, 200,000 views, like thousands of messages, and instantly I knew, I am smart. Yeah. I'm onto something there.
I am smart.
Yeah, so, I mean, from that point, like, I realized, like, there's a lot of people that just don't get that education in schools. So I thought, well, I can document my journey and share something along the way.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is one of the key reasons, I think, why I say I make videos on the internet in the first place. Like, especially growing up in the UK, zero formal education on the topic. Like, PSHE doesn't count, I'm afraid, if you even listen in one of those lessons, let alone listen in the one that's maybe about money. And then just people hate talking about it.
It's just, I mean,
I understand why. It's emotional, it's personal, like, it's also how most people were raised. Does that make you think that posting these videos on the internet is even more important than it ever has been before?
Yeah, 100%. There's always been a stigma, but I think people like me and you posting, who have that relatability, we have a bit of authenticity that I feel like there hasn't been before. Like, I feel like traditional newspaper, TV, media, like professionals and all those kind of qualified financial advisors, accountants, I feel like they've always missed that element of relatability that kind of everyday people kind of need. And I feel like it's so much easier for somebody who's struggling to reach out to someone like me or you than it is for them to reach out to a qualified professional. I mean, I think that really just comes down to, I guess, we get the message across that it's okay to talk about things, whether it's positive or negative. Everyone's on a different financial journey. They should never compare themselves to anyone else. And I just think that, you know, we spread such a good message, and we reach the audience that we want to reach, especially the younger one.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about where are the younger audience in the first place, without being harsh, they're not watching Martin Lewis on ITV at 8 p.m. every single week. I am. It's a great show. You should watch it.
Or Question Time.
Exactly. They're not watching Question Time. They're not probably on YouTube typing in, like, how to start budgeting. They're on TikTok, they're on Instagram, they're on YouTube Shorts, they're swiping away. And this is kind of the way that I think about it. It's like, if you can just sprinkle in a bit of education there, just give them something to think about, so that when they go off, you know, that mindless doom scrolling at midnight, and they just think to themselves, hey, wait, what was that lifetime ISA thing that I thought about? And then they go look it up, and then they think, oh, that's useful. And then it leads to, oh, what else is there? That's, I think, kind of the domino effect that we're trying to create. And like you said, lifetime ISAs is something that I'd never heard about. And clearly resonates with the public as well, because the moment you made one video on it, because you probably just taught it to yourself, made a video about it, and boom, gone crazy. Yeah. I mean, are there any other topics that you think your audience, or just kind of like in general social media, absolutely devours when it comes to personal finance?
Back in when I first started, and even now, but especially when I started the investing stuff, that was really, really big. I think in lockdown, everybody was thinking, how can I make a bit of extra money on the side?
And everybody thought they were an investing expert.
Exactly.
They knew the next big thing.
I know, like all the crypto waves and all that. That's kind of died down a bit now. But like, genuinely, you know, spreading that message of starting early, compound interest, I think a lot of people have jumped on that bandwagon, and in a good way, because it's important. And I think that's If I mean, probably above all, I would say the investing stuff is maybe the thing that I've probably seen people are most interested in.
That's where most of the questions are in your DMs.
Yeah.
But like, how do you actually invest? I always make a video where it's like, how to invest. And then and the first comment is like, but how do you actually do it?
I'm like,
I don't know. Just go on an app and start.
Yeah, literally, it is as simple as that. I think people always overcomplicate. They think that they hear the buzzword of investing in compound interest and they just get overwhelmed and they think that it can't be that simple. But it is literally as simple as you download an app and you put some money into an account. And make sure it's nicer so you don't get taxed.
Yeah. I often say to someone, if you have all these barriers to investing, like, you know, you don't know what to do, you don't know where to start, you don't know what to invest in, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. The list is quite literally endless. Do one thing for me. Download an app, put a quid in, and just start there. Because I think that is the biggest barrier to this topic. The biggest hurdle to investing. Once you're over that, things start to float because you'll, you know, you'll be opening up your phone. Oh, my pound's gone up. Oh, my pound's gone down.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I can put £10 in because I'm starting to learn a little bit more. Oh, what's this, you know, YouTuber now that talks about this topic and I learn it. It's like you said, it's that domino effect. So you've been creating content now for around 3 years, let's say.
Yes.
Yeah, we're 2024, so 2021, 3 years. I can do maths. So you're in personal finance. And it's probably catapulted your career in ways that you never could have imagined. Looking back 3 years ago, we're not just talking about the followers, the numbers, the views, not even talking about the money, because I want to ask you about one thing in particular that happened recently.
Yeah.
You sat down with the Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, to discuss the spring budget. I mean, what was that like as an experience?
When you say it, even now I'm still thinking about, like, did that really happen? I walked out the room and I went home and my mum and dad were like, so what happened? I'm going to have to watch the video because I blacked out. I can't even remember what happened. I don't remember what I said. But honestly, it was like the moment when I got the email from 10 Downing and then I jumped on a call with the lady and she was lovely. And she was saying, like, we're going to invite you in. We want you to film some content. And I thought, okay, great. I'm going to get invited to 10 Downing. I'm going to get a nice reel or TikTok outside the house.
And a great profile picture.
Get to dress up in a suit. And then she goes, so we're going to get you 5 minutes with the PM and then we're going to go back outside and then we'll get you some shots around the house and then you can film a video. And I said, hold on a minute. Did you say 5 minutes with who? She said, yeah, the PM. And I was like, okay, I need a second. And I didn't speak for like the next 20 seconds. She's like, are you still there? I was like, yes, I'm there. I'll be there.
Can we double take the date again? Yeah. Okay, I'm up free.
it was great. And to be honest, he was really nice. Like, he was actually really, really nice. Like, as soon as I met him, I was like, oh, Tim, hi, nice to meet you. Like, I've seen some of your stuff. I don't know if they told him to say that, but either way, I'll take it. It was a good chat. I think it was, if only I could have got longer, but and that sounds a bit greedy. I mean, 5 minutes is enough anyway, but
5 minutes great. More than I got. I'll be honest, I was so obviously jealous looking at you sitting there doing something incredible. I was like, oh, I wish I could be there. But let me flip the script for a second, because I was also just so proud of what finance content creators have achieved. Mm. I mean, we've gone from, I don't know about you, I mean, I do know actually, making literal TikToks in our bedrooms, like with a silly like phone on a tripod, just explain to someone, I don't know, like you said, a lifetime ISA or investing or, you know, how to budget, to being invited to speak to the Prime Minister because they think that you quite literally are the ambassador, the future of financial education in this country. I mean, like I said, if there is something that could explain the impact that social media and personal finance, that kind of cross of worlds has had, that's it. And I think that with taking all my jealousy aside, I was so proud because it wasn't just you. There's a few content creators there that got to do it. And it kind of, like I said, people are listening to what we're saying.
Mm.
Which is epic and very proud, like I said. Speaking of the government then.
Yes.
How are we feeling? Not about the government. I'm not going to ask you about the next general election coming up. FUBAR Radio have a different show when it comes to that topic. But in particular, I suppose, maybe about some of the policies that have come out, you know, national insurance cuts.
Yeah.
Even generally, I know it's not government related, but the way that the Bank of England are holding interest rates again and the high level they're at.
Yeah.
What's your kind of consensus on, you know, the economy as a whole, but more importantly, how it impacts the everyday person?
Yeah, I think... Obviously, one of the questions that I asked him was, you know, why was there nothing in the budget for first-time buyers and for younger people? Because, you know, they struggle a lot. And I think that when you've got things like the NHS and childcare, and like these things are so important, and money funding has to go to those places, of course, but where does it then not go? It's to young people, and it's that trade-off, and they always seem to get the brunt of it and get the short end of the stick. So I asked him, like, what are you doing for young people? And, you know, he did kind of, in a politician's way, you know, say, you know, that they are introducing, like, the stamp duty relief scheme that they've got. I think it's no stamp duty if you're a first time buyer up to like 425k, which is helpful. And like the 1% deposit scheme, so 99% mortgage, it just means that, you know, if you're getting on the property ladder, you don't need as much of a deposit, which is helpful. But, you know, I would love to see something done for student loans personally, because I just, you know, like some of the repayment plans, like if you're in a higher tax bracket, you're paying back like £400-£500 a month. Mm-hmm. And it's just crazy. It's just crippling amount of money for young people, especially if you're in and around London, like, because everything has gone up with the cost of living. So, I mean, I personally, I would love to see him do something with student loans. I don't know how much longer he'll be in office, but yeah. maybe Labour can sort that out. I feel like that they would probably be more likely to do something for young people, Labour, personally. But, you know, again, the tax cuts are good. Like national insurance, it is helpful. I saw that on my paycheck, and I was like, "Fair enough, that's a decent little extra." But they give with one hand and they take from the other, because you've got things like council tax going up, you've got road tax going up. So
tax band freezes.
Exactly, tax band freezes. So how beneficial is it in the long run? Not as much as it looks like it is on paper. That's my biggest issue with it. But not to get too political. Sorry.
Yeah, not to get too political. I think my thing that I was really hoping for was lifetime ISA, the allowance or the cap, yes, of £450,000, either that to,
yeah,
go up,
yeah,
or the fee that you pay if you want to take out that money not towards a first-time, yeah, property, to, yeah, be waived. To give obviously people listening a bit of an understanding, you can only use a lifetime ISA on a property up to 450k. Mm. Now, I don't know about you, but living in London, it's very hard to even find a one-bed flat that comes in under that cost.
Yeah.
So it kind of seems out of touch. And then on the flip side, if you then want to withdraw the money that you've put into a lifetime ISA, you actually end up paying a small fee. So, you know, the bonus they give you, which is a 20% bonus on top of your money, yeah, you actually end up losing 25% of, in total, what you kind of have. Oh, no, 25% bonus, but you kind of lose a little bit more. I don't know the exact maths and figures, but in other words, you actually end up paying a penalty,
yeah,
for withdrawing your money. And, mm-hmm, I think those are the little things that I think do go a long way. Because, mm, I remember when I first heard about lifetime ISA, I threw as much as I could into that, as much as fast as possible. Because, like, it's perfect. It's for me, right? And as you grow up and you actually start to understand the environment you live in, especially the way that house prices have gone up over the past 3 years, and that COVID bubble that shot house prices up,
yeah,
it's impacting us a lot. Before you do go, I know you've got you for only a few more minutes, but utilizing that beautiful personal finance brain, yes, that you have,
yes,
what are, let's say we're speaking to someone, they've just left university, started a graduate scheme or got their first time job, maybe it's an apprenticeship for the first time, they're earning money. What are three key things that they can start doing or thinking about today that will catapult them into a positive financial journey in their life? Because I think that's kind of like the knife edge. When you start to earn money for the first time, if you start to make the right decisions at that point, you can have like a net positive throughout the rest of your life. If you start leaning into the bad decisions, debt, etc., all that kind of side of things, it can take you years to get out of it, mm-hmm, and turn things around. So yeah, let's go with three things that I'm 22 years old, got my first job. What can I be thinking?
The first thing is understand your paycheck. And a lot of people don't know how much tax you're paying, how much tax you should be paying, and what your monthly income is. Because I mean, so many people, they don't fully know how much it is that's coming in, let alone how much is going out. And you need to obviously be in a net positive. So first, understand the paycheck. Then I mean, I even did it recently, like download a budgeting app. And just, because I always do it myself. I always have like Excel spreadsheets and like, I'm that kind of...
We're not all Excel nerds.
Exactly. And I'm not ashamed to say.
I am, by the way. Oh, yeah. I love it.
So brilliant. Am I.
But there are so many apps that,
exactly,
people can use.
Yeah. And it's like within 10 minutes of downloading the app, automated so much. I was like, oh, that's 50 quid that I'm cancelling in direct debits, Disney Plus, don't need it, like so many other little things, like a captions app for my like reels and stuff that I don't need it anymore, mm-hmm, and I completely forgot about it. So having those things to just be on top of like your expenses is absolutely key, because you need to know how much it costs to live your life and how much you're putting into, you know, different things. And like how much you're spending on food and travel and you know, obviously your rent and your bills and everything like that. So that's crucial, getting on top of what's in and then what's out. And then I guess once you know that, you can then start, you know, budgeting towards like saving this amount every month, investing this amount every month. Again, you know, invest in your education. I mean, it's free. If you want to learn to invest, you can learn for free on YouTube, even on TikTok. Watch my videos, watch your videos. You know, you can learn it. So I would then say, if you can put some small amounts away to that, you know, put money into your pension, make sure that you're paying, contributing, not just the bare minimum. I would always say at least 5%, you know, you contribute, and then obviously your employer contributes a minimum of 3 on top. So things like that. And then beyond that, what else is there? I guess
you've given me 3 already.
Have I?
I think so.
I've rambled a bit, so I've lost
you
track.
Give me more. Just nod if I'm getting this right. Number one, understand your paycheck.
Yes.
Understand your salary. Yes. Important, right?
Absolutely.
Know what's coming in. Number two, if you know what's coming in, you need to know what's going out,
yes.
Right? So understand where the money's going. You'll probably very quickly find places to, you know, plug the leaks that are leaking out and that money's disappearing that doesn't need to go. Number three, I think it was like thinking about your future. So the pension, the investments, the savings.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really important at a young age to be putting a little bit aside. I mean, you were going to carry on there. So one final tip, because we are coming to the end of this segment. Oh. One little extra sprinkle on top. Piece of advice, something that you wish people would know about money.
One last little tip. You put me on the spot.
There's too many, right?
There's too many. I'm trying, because we've talked about lifetime ISAs. If eventually you want to,
we've covered personal finance.
I mean, the biggest thing is always like rent, right? That is the biggest thing that a lot of people, majority of the paycheck goes towards. So, I mean, if you're in and around London, it's very, very difficult. But you know, if you're just out graduating, do a flat share. If it's cheaper and you can save like £300 a month doing a flat share as opposed to, you know, getting your own place or it's a one bed, just do that. You know, I think that would definitely be the biggest thing, because if you get into the trap of, you know, renting somewhere that's maybe a bit more expensive than you'd like, and it's so difficult to kind of escape from that, and it can go on for years and years and years. So I would probably say
you get comfy.
Yeah, exactly. You get comfy. So I would say if you're young and, you know, you're graduating, getting your first job, you know, put a lot of thought into, you know, accommodation and rent.
I love it. 100%. It's probably your biggest expense, so why not try and reduce it?
Exactly.
Or if you're lucky enough to have this as an option, maybe move home?
Yes. Yeah.
I know my parents would say I told you so, because I moved out far too quickly.
I didn't move out quick enough. My parents can't wait to get rid of me.
Well, there you go. Anyway, Tim, thank you so much for jumping on. Thanks, it's been an absolute pleasure. And I'll take my lift home after the show.
Yeah, great. See you in a bit.
Catch you in a bit.
Thanks for having me.